Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for January the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Without further ado, our guest today, Mr. Joel Skousen. And Joel Skousen, as you know, prolific writer, incredible books, and more at joelskousen.com. He's also got his weekly commentary on a troubled world, worldaffairsbrief.com. Check it out. You can get a free copy for the first time, but I'm telling you, it is insightful information, to say the least. Joel, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
All right. So Kurt emailed me a headline that I think relates so well to what you want to talk about. Headline says, Trump and Pelosi are locked in their first battle. Neither can afford to lose.
Well, that's absolutely true. There's going to be no compromise on part of the Democrats, and Trump can't compromise either. He has made it such a campaign issue and in the shutdown that he's going to get this wall that I'm convinced he's going to have to declare emergency in order to get it. The Democrats are not going to let him.
What do you think about him constitutionally declaring emergency? I think it's a constitutional and appropriate at this point.
Well, there are no constitutional powers to declare emergency to bypass the Constitution. But presidents have done it, and Congress have let them get away with it, and the courts have actually not hardly said a thing about it. So it's one of those things that I think the dark side of government created in order to have tyrannical power someday, but they only intend for their own puppet presidents to use these powers. They do not intend for a non-puppet president like Trump. I mean, he's highly manipulated, but not one of them. That's why they're trying to crucify him at every turn. But he clearly has the power to do that. There's a lot of misconceptions out there by even the conservative community that declaring emergency means martial law. It does not mean martial law. It basically means...
In fact, let's be clear, it's not even close to martial law.
I mean, it can be martial law. I mean, when you look at the emergency powers, the list of what the president could do, he can do anything. So it's a virtual dictatorship if you should declare emergency. A lot of Americans don't realize that we've lived under a constant state of emergency of one way or the other for ever since World War II, and especially since 9/11. You know, 9/11 state of emergency is still in power. And that's what justifies when the deep state goes out to create secret prisons and do torture and other things, and they have military or other good people protest, they throw at them, the president's declared an emergency. This is being done in emergency powers. And they have to go back in their hole and be quiet because that's the excuse that's given. Almost all the military bases built in Afghanistan and in Syria in secret have been built under these emergency powers. I'm just covering in Friday's World Affairs Brief the major logistics and arms distribution system of the deep state that we're learning a lot about now, about how we now know the reason why the Baghdad embassy was the biggest embassy in the world. I thought this, you know, when it was created, you know, here's a 104-acre plot, huge building, 16,000 employees. What the devil is, do you need that kind of an embassy in the middle of Iraq? Well, it is the hub of all the deep state and secret activity in the Middle East. And it's also associated with huge warehouses at the Baghdad airport where they apparently shovel in and out of Iraq huge weapon shipments to the various terrorists around the world. And in fact, they also use for Eastern Europe some of the some warehouses associated with the Helsinki.
And you kind of wonder how much that $150 billion Barack sent was used to foment that, right?
What are you talking about, the $150 billion?
Didn't Barack send a big old bunch of money overseas, cash and airplanes and stuff?
Well, yeah, but that's going off to pay off, you know, Sunnis and Shiites and other people in every country. I mean, in the phony fall of the Soviet Union, the U.S. Sent over palletfuls of, or suitcases full in those days, of $100 bills, and that's why all the Russian oligarchs only had $100 bills when they went to Europe. They didn't have anything else to tip with, and they were dishing out $100 bills, courtesy of the U.S. taxpayer. Same thing in Iraq, and the Iraq War, palletfuls of $100 bills into Iraq to pay off the opposition. That's how we really won the war, not by, you know, militarily. But in any case, it's a very corrupt system, and it's still in existence. Trump doesn't really know about it. He doesn't know that the deep state created Al-Qaeda. They created ISIS. They still run terror around the world in order to keep justification for being in Afghanistan. You know, any time you try to want to pull out troops around the world, they say, oh, no, there's a threat of terror there. And you know, Trump tries to pull them out like he is in Syria. They try to divert him, which they've successfully done by getting to keep the troops in the region. But they also throw a false flag terror attack. And what's really ramping up now is that they're heading for a war with Iran, and that's going to be like a magnet to bring more troops back. They actually want U.S. troops in the area because they want Iran to eventually retaliate to all of the missiles that Israel's throwing at Iranian bases in Syria. There are 200 missile strikes in the past week there, and Israel is desperately trying to get Iran to retaliate so that they can do a full-blown war. In fact, Mike Pompeo just tasked the Pentagon to draw up plans for an attack on Iran. So we know this war in Iran is imminent this year, and they're just looking for the proper justification, to do so. And Iran is very wary of this, and that's why they haven't responded in kind to Israeli attacks. And Israel keeps saying, we have the right to defend ourselves. What do you mean, defend yourselves? There hasn't been a single attack of Iran or Syria on Israel at all. And so this is just...
Well, and the United States all too willing to back and help kind of help prep for this, too, fund and train and arm for it, right?
Well, that's right. You know, they're training so many different sides of the conflict. They're training their U.S.-backed rebels in Syria and ISIS. And, of course, ISIS flows back and forth into the open funding of terrorists, that is the Syrian army or rebel army. And then when they need it, they flow back out and they become a separate terrorist organization. And just like after the defeat of Raqqa, the U.S. paid for about 50 or so semi-trucks driven by Arab drivers to come into Raqqa and save not only ISIS leaders and their ISIS fighters and their families, but their heavy weapons as well. That was never told to the American public. It was just told them, we made a peace deal with the ISIS to stop the fighting and we're going to allow them to leave. Well, we paid to ship them and their heavy weapons to preserve them for another day. So this whole thing about, you know, we can't leave Syria, says Pompeo, until we've defeated ISIS, or Bolton says that too. Well, the U.S., that can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. The U.S. can reconstitute ISIS at will at any time because they control them.
So do you think we will go to a war with Iran? Do you think they will get their wish?
With Iran.
I mean, Iran.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think we will?
I mean, this has been in the works since 2004. And the only reason it got delayed was because Israel told the globalists, basically, we're not going to attack Iran on your behalf until you take out Syria. That's why this whole Syrian war and these false flag chemical attacks in Syria to justify U.S. intervention in Syria. And, of course, the Russians basically stopped that. And that's what's delayed this agenda. The U.S., in fact, did the nuclear deal with Iran to have an excuse to back down from attacking Iran when it was. But the nuclear deal was filled with all kinds of traps, like these bans on missile testing, which the language wasn't clear, whether or not, in terms of the technical language, Iran says it means that nuclear tipped missiles are banned from being tested, and they're not testing any but conventional missiles. But the U.S. interpreting it as missiles capable of having nuclear weapons, and so that's how they're using this. But in any case, it's been a complex process, and the U.S. has once again been stymied by Trump by pulling out of Syria. I mean, every single advisor just railed on him for this, and he finally said, thank you for your advice, but I'm going to do this anyway. And now they've turned him around by basically talking me into delays and delays and talking about the threat of the Kurds being attacked by Turkey. And Russia's already told the Turks, don't do it. We're not going to let...
The problem for President Trump is he doesn't have any good people around him that are savvy enough to understand and or that don't have the globalist agenda at heart, right?
That's absolutely true. There are just zero advisors that know how to tell him who's deep state and who isn't. That's why he keeps nominating deep state people for high position, like Christopher Wray to replace James Comey. And Christopher Wray continues to lie to the president about him not being under investigation.
And what about Mr. Barr? He's going to be of the same ilk, right?
Yeah, William Barr is completely deep state. He was deep state under George H.W. Bush. He covered up for Iran-Contra. He covered up for Irangate. He covered up for all the drug running that the U.S. was doing under the name of the Iran-Contra agreement. And, there's a lot of
other
things.
And that's what makes me fearful on the border wall. If we get all these drug runners of yesteryear back in place, hey, the cartels already control both sides of the border.
Well, that's right. And you've got to remember, though, that the U.S. is deeply involved with Mexico in allowing there are depots in the Mexican side of the border that certify trucks as drug-free, and they're full of drugs. And that's where most of the drugs are coming through, is through our port.
All right, when we come back, we'll get Joel Skousen's expectations on when war with Iran might happen. Maybe this year, huh? And we'll talk about the battle between Pelosi and Trump. What's going to happen? Are we going to get a wall? Are we going to get funding? Is the government going to... What's going to happen? We also want to talk about the Brexit crisis coming to a climax this week, and we've only got seconds to do it. Hang tight, folks.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, the world seems to be busting into insanity in many ways. Presidential emergency powers, ladies and gentlemen. The government shutdown. Trump and Pelosi are locked in their first battle. Neither can afford to lose. The Democrats are partying in Puerto Rico. Donald's held up in the White House. Laura Loomer brings illegal immigrants to Nancy Pelosi's home. And Pelosi has the cops remove them. What do you think is going to happen on this border issue? Joel?
Well, there is no solution except to declare an emergency and get a bill under other ways. Now, Trump seems extremely reluctant to do this. He keeps delaying and delaying. And, I don't understand, except that he's got advisors telling him not to do this. He's got Mitt Romney threatening him, not to do this, and other Republicans. Basically, they're getting the word from deep staters, we don't want to use the state of emergency for proper purposes. But here's the point. The president has absolute power to build the wall under state of emergency. And basically what it does, it gives him the power to take money from any other place the government has it and use it. He can use relief funds. The billions of dollars have been thrown at California or Florida. He can use military funds, although the military doesn't want him to take any of their money. So there's a whole bunch of pressure. But remember, in the 1976, they passed this Emergency Act, Clarification Act, and basically said that Congress has the power to overrule the president by can pass a bill with both houses and stop the state of emergency, though they've never done that when you have puppet presidents. But then in 1977, it was changed with a bill by Kay Bailey Hutchison that basically changed it to a joint resolution of Congress to overturn a state of emergency. And a joint resolution is really no difference from a bill. It has to pass both houses, but it also has to be passed by the president. And the president, of course, who starts the state of emergency, doesn't have to sign it. So in essence, there is no way to stop a state of emergency.
Yeah, it's DOA, in other words, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so what do you think is going to happen then? Is Donald going to declare the emergency?
That's what worries me. He should have already done it. I mean, it's absolutely clear the Democrats, and the longer he delays, the more...
Yeah, they're already saying the shutdown's costing more than the wall would have.
I know, and they're all... the point is, they're just allowing the Democrats to continue to propagandize this.
You're right about that. What about Ted Cruz saying, hey, let's get El Chapo to pay for the wall?
Well, I mean, if you had access to his funds, sure. I mean, you can take anything in a state of emergency. But, you know, he could stop, he could penalize Mexico for allowing people to cross the border, for not running sting operations to stop the coyotes. I mean, how hard would it be for Mexico to put the fear of God into all those coyotes by posing as immigrants and then arresting all these coyotes for taking them across the border? It would literally stop the coyote industry.
Yeah, but that's if you want to get it done. Stuart Rhodes and others have reported live on this program from the border, and they say that it leaks like a sieve, and the drug cartels and the sex traffickers control the whole thing. Think that's accurate?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, there are independent coyotes, and who they work for, it's a really dark pit. It does leak like a sieve. That's true.
All right, what do you think of Laura Loomer bringing a bunch of illegals to Nancy Pelosi's house? She has a wall around her house, so she brought them, and they climbed over the wall and stuff, and Nancy just had the cops come get them.
Well, that's a nice publicity stunt.
It is, and it kind of demonstrates the absurdity here.
To protect themselves, but wanting to take away our means of protection, yes.
Wow.
Supreme hypocrisy.
I compare.
She was really surprised that the doors were locked and things like that.
I
mean,
she
kind of felt like it should be open access to everything.
Yeah, come
there.
On in, baby. Take your coat off, huh? All right. Let's finish up on the Brexit crisis. It's coming to a climax this week, Joel.
Yeah, it really is. Today, they're voting on her sellout deal, and essentially what May has done is devised a Brexit deal with the EU that essentially doesn't give the EU, I mean the Britain, any more independence than it had before. It essentially locks it into the EU under the name of the Brexit. It's a complete sellout, and it's got some open-ended provisions that also sell out British sovereignty. And so basically, it's going to get rejected. And Nigel Farage was on Fox News yesterday, and he said some very important things. He said, all right, that puts it, once it's rejected, and of course she'll beg them to reconsider, and they'll cajole, and the media will say, oh, no, the 29th of March, when the Brexit by law takes place, Britain is going to be under tremendous financial pressure. We won't be able to deal with the EU anymore, and that's a bunch of baloney. The EU needs British products as much as the British need EU, and they won't make a deal. But the point is that he's predicting that they will postpone that deadline and say, no, we won't actually leave. We'll just postpone this deadline till we can make a deal. They'll keep harassing the opposition. And eventually, May's strategy is to get them to vote again, where they'll have a good chance of overturning the Brexit vote. I mean, this shows that the globalists just won't take no for an answer.
It also shows that every time we think we have a sliver of hope, it gets dashed on the rocks of manipulation in the media and manipulation behind the scenes, right?
That's why I'm telling people that this deep state, this conspiracy that controls virtually all the levers of government and about 75% of Congress through blackmail and most of the higher level judges, I mean, this is a powerful system. This is the system that for Mormons, Moroni warned about. And if you ever let this take over the government, it's going to be all over. And it already has taken over the government. So it's not the Taliban. It's not the mafia. The deep state is deeply ensconced within our government and covers their acts with national security procedures.
I'll tell you the good news, though. God is in his heavens. The righteous win in the end. And there are still good people doing a lot of good things. And every day that I can walk down the streets free and every day that I can make money and I can prepare and I can put my family in a better position spiritually, physically, mentally, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And every day we can do that to some degree, despite the secret combinations above us, is a good day, Joel.
Well, I'm not that optimistic. And the reason I say that, as long as you deal with that kind of positivism, people will not prepare for the war that's coming. And believe me, when this nuclear war comes in the next decade, probably at the earliest in the middle of the next decade, I mean, the lights are going to go out. It's going to be a horror of massive social unrest. Our whole world will change and never be the same. We lose our liberty as a nation. That doesn't mean that there won't be pockets of liberty, but I don't believe in preaching optimism about because people naturally tend toward that. They want to believe that Donald Trump is going to save us, that he's going to drain the swamp. He is not going to be able to drain the swamp. He doesn't have the capability or the intelligence or the moral character to do it. And even if I were in there, with all that I knew about the deep state, it would be almost impossible to do it, to find enough people in government who would be willing and have the courage to fight against that system and to get the data on these people, to surveil them. I mean, they control all those, you know. They control the FBI. They control the CIA. How do you use government power to arrest those that control it? I mean, it's a tough situation.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I only have the optimism not to dissuade people from preparing. But if we go too negative, then the people just give up in discouragement and say, hey, there's nothing I can do about it either. So we got a balance to walk to try to help people have enough.
No, you don't balance it by giving them hope. There is no hope of this country not going into war. There is no hope of this country beating the secret combinations.
There's no hope of that. There is hope, though, that I can prepare my family, right?
What I'm saying is that people have to deal with the fact that there's discouragement. People have to deal with the fact that war is coming. And they're going to deal with it when it's 2 weeks before and the government says, all right, the war's coming and it's imminent, and then it's too late to prepare.
There's no doubt we have to deal with that for sure. That's beyond doubt. What we're doing, hopefully, though, is finding the contingent of people who will take the time and who will prepare and who will listen and who will work on it. And it's not the masses in America. It's the very few.
Yeah, and the ones that are preparing, though, are the ones who understand that we aren't going to get through this without war and destruction. And
There's no question about that.
You say the righteous win in the end, but that's not till after the second coming. The second coming comes specifically to stop the fact that Satan has near total control over the world except for the New Jerusalem and a few pockets of liberty, people crying day and night for deliverance. That's why he comes. He has to come to stop that. So that's not a pretty scene.
Oh, no, it's a horrible wind-up scene. It's very difficult indeed. And you know what? The more we prepare and the more we do the things of God, the greater chance that we will have protection through it. And that's why we got to build this contingent that will do so. But at the same time, we've got to look forward with hope and faith that we can do our part and we can insulate our families, right?
Well, I do that without hope. Just like Moroni fought without hope of saving the situation, he still fought because of duty. That's why I do it. It's my duty to wake people. It's my duty to prepare. It's my duty to prepare the family.
There's no doubt about that. If you want commentary on A Troubled World Weekly, ladies and gentlemen, worldaffairsbrief.com. Check it out. Fascinating commentary on a troubled world and insights into what's happening. Joel, we know you got to fly. Thank you, sir.
All right. Pleasure to be with you.
Joel had to cut it short today. He had some places to go, but we're grateful for his time. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, I might be a little naive in my optimism and in my hope, but I got to hold on to it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you that I get that we got trouble in America. I get it. And I get that eventually we're going to have a war. I get eventually we're going to have a complete currency meltdown. I understand all of it. I get that the deep state is absolutely creating a tyranny and they've got above the people. The people have allowed it, and therefore we're in serious, serious, serious trouble. I understand. And I don't disagree with any of the points Joel made. However, I will trust in my God, and I will do my best for my family. And I do believe that I can receive modern revelation or guidance from God to protect and insulate my family through the tough times that are ahead. And I know the more I keep the commandments of God and the more I obey him and the more I am willing to help others and the more I prepare, the more I do my part, then I can stand in holy places and I can be blessed for doing so. And that doesn't minimize the trouble that's coming, but it does provide a significant amount of protection for me and my family. What I'm saying is that there are things that I can do, and the things that I can do, I will do. And in that, I will have hope in Christ. I just will. And I get the points that he's making, and I agree with him. But I also get that it depends on my outlook on what I focus on. And what I spend my time on. And it's true that a lot of people won't prepare. I know that's sad. I can't help that. But I can speak to the people who will. And I can work with those who are the very elect who understand the winding up scenes as we prepare to meet our Savior Jesus Christ at his return. And I hope to be one of the five virgins with my lamp full of oil. And I know this. It's not a bad day for the five virgins that had their lamps full of oil. It's a good day and a delightful opportunity. And yes, it'll be rough getting there. I don't debate that for one second. But I have to look forward with hope. And I have to do all that I can. I can't solve it all, but I can do my part. Any final thoughts on that, Kurt?
Well, yeah, I'm going to, you know, basically be on the other side of this. I was looking at the phrase that Jesus said, basically. He said, be of good cheer. And in a talk given in 1982, a gentleman, his name is Neil A. Maxwell, said, we're living in a time, and this is, you know, quite a few years back, so it was, you know, kind of, I mean, I suppose it's even worse now, but anyway, he says, we're living in a time in which we shall see things both wonderful and awful, and I think that fits for now. He says, there's no way that we can be a part of the last days and have it otherwise. Even so, we are instructed by our Lord and exemplar, Jesus Christ, to be of good cheer. And he says, Jesus had given that same instruction to others before, when the stressful circumstances in which they found themselves were anything but cheerful. For instance, he told the original 12 to be of good cheer, when on the surface there was nothing to be cheerful about. You know, and he describes some of those things, so that's pretty much, I appreciate Joel's information and his efforts, but I do believe, that if the Savior Jesus Christ, who'd be a lot more aware of the complete, program, than me, and he recommend us to be of good cheer, then I would say...
Yeah, that, and I put good cheer right. in the camp of hope, Kurt, a little bit. Though.
Yeah,
I mean, to and me, I can't be good cheer without any hope. It's hard.
I don't believe that by being of good cheer, it means don't prepare. I don't believe that by being of good cheer, it means to just kind of eat, drink, and be merry for, you know, that kind of stuff. I think it means, you know, to be, you know, wise. Honest.
Amen. You want me to tell you what I think it means?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it means going to the White House and eating off silver platters and stuff, Kurt.
Well, the president did feed the Clemson football team that way, Sam, and basically the Clemson boys won the national championship on a Monday evening, I might add, they, you know, turned out the season 15-0, and the president invited them, and they came. And guess what, Sam? Even though, quote,
did they eat Chick-fil-A, Kurt? I wish they would have.
You know, I didn't see it there, and I don't know that they eliminated Chick-fil-A from the menu. I suppose it's just not available in the area. You know, it's probably one of those things that's tough to get done in the capital area there. But they did have
all Donald's got to do Wendy's, is put one in the Trump Hotel, Kurt.
Good point. Wendy's, McDonald's, they had some pizza. The president paid for it all, Sam.
Well, good for Donald.
Yeah,
there you go. Fast food on silver platters. But I just want to say to you this, Kurt. I mean, I'm not worried about the money. At least it was done on the cheap. You know, when Barack was doing it, it was like words I couldn't even pronounce what they were eating and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So there's improvement there. And yeah, I just want to say debt. What debt, Kurt? $22 trillion. No big deal.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, you're exactly right.
You're supposed
right.
to follow up and with this awesome headline, Kurt.
Well,
at $22 you know, trillion, here's the argument. The national debt doesn't even matter, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. And it's up. It's a record high. We're, you know, breaking records all over the place. And they say there's some kind of a ceiling, according to Paul Bernard. But it seems like that ceiling goes up and up, doesn't it, Sam?
Yes, sir. I don't know what you mean by ceiling, though. The only part I don't get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the headline.
Ceiling would kind of suggest that it stops. When it goes up and up and up and up, there's not really a ceiling, is there, Kurt?
Well, that's what I mean. It says debt ceiling will be set to record high of $22 trillion of fund government to just summer.
But if it keeps going up, though, is there a ceiling? What does the word ceiling word even have to do with it?
I think it just changes, Sam. It's kind of like a target that you just keep moving, and that's what they do.
Yeah. So there is no ceiling. It's like open sky, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
All right, House GOP leader's ticked off from California. He says, hey, man, action will be taken against white supremacy comment by Steve King. Steve's out of control, they say. Kurt, you want to respond?
I don't know what to say here. It's
I'll tell you what I say
here. Part of the whole racist thing.
It is, yes.
Seems
I
like
think they're
me.
Taking Steve King's point completely out of context, and they're manipulating his intentions and his words against him to double down against, quote, white supremacy. He wasn't really backing white supremacy. What he was saying is, how did we get to this scenario, Kurt? How did we get to this scenario where, you know what, everything that people say and do turns into a white supremacy thing? You know what? I don't believe in white supremacy personally at all, as our listeners know. But hey, you know what? People can believe that if they want to. Okay? If people believe that in white supremacy, I disagree with them completely, but it doesn't mean that I think they're less of American. I don't believe that it means that I can violate their free speech because I disagree. Or suggest that they don't have the right to say or believe or think those things. I'm just as against abortion as I am white supremacy, and those guys get to run around and murder babies. So I guess what I'm saying is I get Steve King's point that how do we get here to where, I don't know how to say it, but I think he's bringing up a fair question, right? Steve King wants to know how white supremacists became offensive. That's the headline. But what does that mean, Kurt? He didn't
ask.
Well,
it means that.
Well, let me tell you. Here's the headline. He didn't ask how white supremacists became offensive. That's what the headline reads. There's one word left out, Kurt. He asked how terms white supremacist and white nationalist became offensive. That's a whole different discussion from the headline. He's not saying white supremacy isn't offensive. He's saying, how did these terms all of a sudden just, you know, get thrown around? Right? There's a big difference when we talk about how terms like white supremacist and stuff, but when they have this headline, they manipulate it. Steve King wants to know how white supremacist got offensive. No. Steve King asked how terms like white supremacist and white nationalist became offensive in an interview with the New York Times. Isn't that a big difference, Kurt?
I think so, Sam. But, you know, remember if it was a black, you know, instead of white, take that word and change it. Black supremacy, then it'd be, well, you know, that's okay because, you know, somehow they deserve it, you know. It just seems to be a way to rile up the people and cause more division.
I think you're right. But I think Steve brings up a very important point. Okay, he's not acting, or he's not promoting white supremacy. He's just wondering, how do we get these terms so out of control? I mean, everybody's a white nationalist or white supremacist now, including the president, right?
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with have trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Steve King, in an interview with the New York Times, in my humble opinion, wisely asked, how do these terms like white supremacist and white nationalist become so offensive? Okay, we're just talking about things here. And can Steve King even wonder such a thing? No, they say they're going to take action. He's a white supremacist. His comments were horrible and evil, and he's been kicked off several very high-powered influential committees. Everybody's against him. Nobody's running to his defense except for me, Sam Bushman. And I'm not doubling down in defense of white supremacy, and I'm not asking why white supremacy is wrong. I get it. I'm asking, how have we got these terms so ubiquitous? So in vogue that you can literally call anybody a white supremacist you want, whether it's true or not, and you can literally lie, promote fake news against somebody. It's been done against me plenty, just because we're bringing up these questions. And I think Steve King needs to come out boldly and swing on this thing, and I think others need to stand in defense of Steve King. It's a fair question. How did these terms like white supremacist, white nationalist, white advocate, how do they become so offensive? I mean, I'm a white advocate. I'm a white guy. I want to advocate for my race. It doesn't mean I don't want to down any other races. I don't believe in white supremacy. I believe we're all God's children, and we should act like it. And I believe this whole white, quote, agenda, white supremacist, white nationalist, these are labels they put on people to literally destroy people's lives and to literally sideline people in appropriate debates. And I think Steve King is wise to bring this question up. But he got slaughtered and nobody came to his defense, Kurt. Are you going to come to his defense?
Yeah, I mean, what Steve's got to do is, if he could be a transgender, individual or something like that, then he'd get some, kid glove treatment. Wouldn't he?
Yeah, he couldn't paint himself all black. What's that? That chick got in trouble for
white face, they call
it. You know, white face. Right? He couldn't do that because then, I mean,
or
what's her name?
They call it blackface? I don't know.
Whatever it is. Anyway, what's her name? What? She got $30 million. What's her name?
I can't remember.
Anyway, she basically said, I don't understand what's wrong with going around with a blackface or whatever it is. And, you know, then she got toppled because she's a racist. And this is what I mean. Everybody's a racist. And the question is, then they want to run around and say white people are afraid to have racial discussions. See, I'm willing to have one. Steve's willing to have one. But then all they do is marginalize us and say, how dare you? You know what? Get out of the... You don't even belong at the table now. You're such a racist. You're so evil. We can't even talk to you anymore. And Steve just wants to know, how did all this stuff become so offensive? Just these terms. I believe white nationalism is fine. I believe white supremacy is wrong. I don't know what nationalism and white have to do with anything anyway. I believe you can be a nationalist as opposed to a globalist, no matter what color you are. I digress. Don't worry, though. One in five millennials expects to die without even paying off their debts, Kurt. And their parents are broke, too. What do you think of that?
I guess they're following the example of the country.
Yes, sir. Well, what they're really saying is it's so hard in life now to get a start. You can't have a modern day life that we're used to or expect with a, you know, big colored TV and a house and a four wheeler and a couple of cars. And, you know, you can't have vacations and all these things and not get in debt. And so we're just going to have them. And if we get in debt, that's just the system that's created. And there's nothing that I can do to stop it or pay it off. And so whatever. I think it's a horrible precedent being set. Nevertheless, I don't see how when the country leads by, quote, example, and when they're, I mean, I don't know how you get out of debt today either, Kurt, to go to college or whatever, cost you an arm and a leg, and, you know, what's your biggest debt? Your insurance payments every month, your house payment every month, your student loan payments every month, your car payments, that cars are expensive more and more and more. I don't know how you stay out of debt exactly.
Well, it seems like our buddy Dave Ramsey gives some good counsel in that area.
He gives great counsel.
And yet, wouldn't it be wonderful if Dave had the plan for the governments, both national, state, local? They just refuse to listen.
Sam. That's right. But Dave's got it. He's spot on, Kurt. He's right.
Good point. Beans and rice, baby.
I think that personally, if I were, well, let me just throw this headline in here. Looks like Ivanka is going to be the one to help Donald pick the quote World Bank leader. Kurt, did you see this? Ivanka is going to help choose the next president of the World Bank. What if she picked Dave Ramsey?
Leader. Yeah, there you go. Or Ron Paul.
Huh. Hey, if we've got those kind of choices, I'm just all whichever you want is cool with me. Both of them do a phenomenal job. Both of them would not be part of the swamp. I'm sure of that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the last person I want, though, is Ivanka helping to pick the next World Bank leader. Right.
Well, at least he's hanging out with his family, you know.
Yeah.
That part.
Sadly, Rand Paul is still suffering from the repercussions of that abuse he took when that guy assaulted him, Kurt.
Well, that, you know, basically he's got to have some surgery, and it's interesting. He's picked out a very good place to have a good hernia operation. I think it's world renowned or whatever, but it happens to be located in Canada. So what is happening is there's folks that are basically against him, that because he's promoted private kind of solutions and all that stuff, and everybody has the idea that says that anything in Canada is government run, then he's, you know, saying one thing like Al Gore or Bill Clinton.
Yeah, but they're lying,
and
Kurt.
Doing something different. Well, I know, but it's
they're
it's
not interested in the truth
that the media is doing. But you can read that in the story. If you read far enough down, you find out what the real facts are, and that he you know, just wanted to go there because it's a good place to do it.
And if you study, you'll understand that it's a private institution that he's going to, Kurt.
That's exactly
it's not
right.
Part of the globe or part of the Canadian healthcare fiasco that Rand stands against. It's not part of that at all. And so he's going to go, he's going to pay for it, and he's going to get some of the best healthcare in the world. And why wouldn't he, Kurt?
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, if you ask a guy like me, but then I'm for the private sector and I'm for solutions.
Yeah, good point.
But anyway, our prayers are with Rand. That's horrible that he even has to go in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's I commend right. him for going to the best place he can, Kurt.
Yeah. And another part to the story I thought was interesting, way down in the story, you know, remember this thing happened way back in, November 3rd, 2017.
A little over a year ago, yeah.
So you're talking about, yeah. And so now they got a jury trial related to the case. It's scheduled to start January 28th. So that's how that speedy trial thing works. You know, it's like a year and a half later, you get to court. You know, it's just messed up. Now, Rand Paul is suing for $4,000 in medical costs related to the attack.
Got to sue for a whole lot more than that.
Final amount. Yeah, final amount will continue to be updated through trial and will certainly include the hernia surgery that's currently scheduled.
Well, all right. At the Consumer Electronics Show, They got a TV, they say, that rolls itself up. It disappears when you don't want to watch it. And so here's what they've got. They've got AI sensors. And then the AI sensors watch Kurt Crosby. And when he sits down in front of the TV, cranks that dude up and promptly falls asleep. The second Kurt's eyes close, the TV shuts off and rolls up. Kurt, how do you like that?
I didn't read that part in the story, but, you know, the way it works, you remember, like...
Yeah, here's my only problem with this story. They've been telling me about these roll-up TVs for, like, years.
Have they?
Yeah, okay, just sell one of them already.
This is my first time seeing them.
I'd like them to sell one of them already. It's kind of like the border wall.
The way it looks,
just deliver,
the ones
people.
The ones I saw, it's like a box, kind of a long, you know, basically a rectangular box. And
you know what it reminds you of?
It
reminds you of those screens, right, Kurt? That pull down?
I don't know which screens you're talking about.
Like when you get a projector, you have a screen and it has that little rectangle thing in the screen.
Well, this one's sitting on your table, so it goes up instead of comes down.
Right. I'm just saying the principle's similar, how it's like this box thing and then this flat, thin, flexible thing comes out.
Yeah.
Right.
It's got kind of like, it's kind of like those doors they use on those shops, like in New York or in the cities, where they pull them down to protect the windows when they're closed, or they lift them up and they roll up in a thing. So it's basically that, just going from the bottom up. And
get one of those dudes. Cool. Let me know what it's like, Kurt.
Yeah, I've already got several on order.
Okay, good, cool. Give me one. You can just drop one by my house while you're on the way. Speaking of that, Microsoft is in trouble. They're having to partner up with Kroger to fight off Amazon, Kurt. So you got Microsoft and the grocery chain teaming up.
Yeah. I didn't ever hear anything about Microsoft and Kroger before. Did you know they were working together?
No, heck no.
But, I mean, I've heard a lot about the Amazon, you know, all their areas of movement or whatever, but this is the first time I heard that Kroger and Microsoft are working together. But I guess it does give some competition in that world, huh?
Well, it just shows what the free market can do. I think they have every right to work together in the private sector to see what they can do to ante up and crank up the competition, and I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just something that I was unaware of.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting, pretty neat, if you ask me.
Yeah.
By the way, Hyundai, I guess, is revealing a walking car concept, Kurt. Are you going to get one of these dudes?
Yeah. Well, the pictures I saw of it are, I mean, it's like, what's that? You know, you got these toys where your kids will turn them into... different things.
They're called
Transformers. It looks like a car. And, yeah, that's right. It kind of looks like that, and it just kind of has these arms and walks along. So I don't think you could go very fast, but I guess you could go places you normally weren't able to go with a walking car.
There you
car.
Go. It's just like a robot walking car. It's just a way to make the car smaller and more maneuverable and things like this. It's really a one-person vehicle and stuff like that. And it's kind of interesting how the new tech is going along and stuff, but it reminds me of when my brother and sister were a kid, and my brother kind of went out in the street, and my sister said, you know, you need to get out of the street or a car might step on you. Well, she was just futuristic, that's all.
Yeah, good point.
You know what I mean? She actually understood what's going on more than the rest of us. Surgeon admits roll and kickback scheme, Kurt.
Well, yeah, shocker, Sam. I mean, there's some... insider trading in the world of medicine, where all that huge amounts of money is. But yeah, somebody said that, hey, I was taking kickbacks.
Oh, I hate that.
Shocker. I mean, we typically it's just a service industry, you know what I mean?
Well, that guy's taking kickbacks. He might need to get in his flying car and run for the hills. But so Elon Musk is saying that... he's promising flying cars while he's cutting production models, Kurt. Is this guy nuts or what?
Well, it sure does, it makes for interesting reading. And the flying car is a lot more interesting to me than a walking car, personally. But, anyway, we'll see. Watch for one at a local dealer.
I just want a car that I can afford that drives.
Do you?
Imagine a guy like me.
What kind of crazy stuff is that?
I know. I just lack innovation. I lack motive. I have no ambition. You know what I need? I need a healthy dose of initiative going on, probably.
That's
right. You know
right.
what I mean? All right, thanks for being alongside with the ride. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. LibertyRoundTable.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.